This is 89.9 WWNN. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of song with an acclaimed tenor, cabaret with a Broadway star, or a step back in time with a renowned jazz vocalist, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Gifted composer Tucker Fuller is set to premiere a new song cycle for tenor and string quartet. The work is called Gilded. It was written for and will be performed by internationally acclaimed tenor Brendan Gunnell, accompanied by the Polymnia String Quartet with text by award-winning poet Megan Leavitt. Tucker Fuller is here with concert arranger Chris Merritt. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
You've been in a very creative period, Tucker. What was the inspiration for Gilded?
Actually, having heard Brendan Gunnell sing a concert a couple of years ago at the Marigny Opera House, sort of got the idea of writing him a piece of music. The music that I have heard him sing, sort of Romantic era music, I was kind of inspired by the late sort of 19th century Romantic wandering leader and sort of updating that and putting that into sort of a 21st century American idiom. That was sort of the thinking behind it. From there, I contacted one of my favorite collaborators, Megan Leavitt, who's a poet. She and I sort of talked back and forth about subject matter for these wandering songs. And we sort of landed on the imagery of the Gilded Age specifically and sort of its parallels to contemporary American life and built a song cycle on it.
Now, Chris, you know Brendan Gunnell. I believe you were responsible for his debut concert here in New Orleans a couple of years ago.
Yes, Brendan and I go back to Curtis Institute of Music days in Philadelphia, where he was a young singer. We became very close, spent a lot of time together talking about music and songs, particularly Lieder. I was very excited to be able to bring him here to perform Winterreise in 2017, which went on to win an award for the best chamber music performance in the city that year. And with Tucker's encouragement for this new piece, I'm happy to bring him back and also to have him perform at UNO on the Musical Excursion Series to perform a cycle of songs by Mahler, Britten, and Rachmaninoff. Seldom heard songs, which should be of exquisite character, and accompanied by a pianist from Germany who accompanies the Berlin Philharmonic and a number of leading singers in Europe.
Now, Tucker, your concert is first with the new song cycle, Gilded. Tell us more about what you're exploring in the new work. What will we experience?
It's a contemporary love story. It's kind of dark. It's told from two perspectives, mainly. One perspective, sort of the main character, is a kind of a technocrat or an entrepreneur of some kind. And he falls in love with the beloved or an object of some kind. And it sort of moves through his first infatuation, his sort of maybe consummation, and then ultimately losing or not being able to have or keep this beloved or object, and sort of his wanderings through the city and exploring sort of what it is to look for someone, especially in a time where you have an ability to basically, you could find anyone as you're, you know, you're connected with all sort of social media and things like that. So the ability to sort of be unplugged, walking through the city and looking and trying to find this person that you're sort of obsessed with. And then it also moves from the perspective of the object, the idea of not realizing that you're pursued, or perhaps an ambivalence toward the pursuer, and sort of those implications and the idea, especially from the entrepreneur's idea of like coming from a place where you can have it all and you own all the things and you can do all of these things, suddenly not having the ability to have this one thing. And will you be satisfied if you do get the one thing that you do want?
How would you describe the music?
Taking from that 19th century aesthetic, it's sort of neo-romantic in the beginning, and like the title, Gilded, it's sort of a patina. As you move through the song cycle, you realize what's underneath is sort of this hollowness, kind of this empty, austere sound as you move toward the end of the piece of music.
Now, this work was specifically written for Brendan Gunnell. Chris, why is he so well-suited for this work?
Brendan is a Helden tenor, and many of the operatic roles that he sings are those such as Siegmund and Die Valkyrie and Peter Grimes, but he also specializes in Lieder. And one of the characteristics of his voice, in addition to it just simply being beautiful, is extremely delicate sensitivity in singing and control of dynamics. It's really something that you seldom hear quite as wonderfully as Brendan is able to do it. And this was, I think, one of the things about his performance of Winterreise that was so incredible. He understood the story, he understood the music, and he presented it in a way that very few people can do. And I think that this work, as well as the song recital, will really display these features of his talent extremely well.
And Tucker, how long was this song cycle in the making?
Took about, 7 months, 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you have adopted New Orleans as your musical home. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You are originally from North Dakota?
I'm originally from North Dakota, from a ranch in the plains. And then I lived in Minnesota. I went to school on the East Coast. Then I did my graduate work at the Peabody and then the University of Michigan. Lived in Chicago briefly. And then wandered down to New Orleans because many of my undergraduate friends had moved down here years before and suggested that I also move down here. So I said, okay.
And we're glad you're here.
I am glad to be here, too.
What will audiences take away from this musical journey?
We all have this kind of character in us, this obsessive character, I think, and many of us seeking in our lives some sort of meaning. And to be aware of that, sometimes this search for meaning can be a little consuming and also leave you kind of empty or perhaps not know what you actually have, and that it can be destructive. And to be aware of those things.
Award-winning composer Tucker Fuller and concert arranger Chris Merritt, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tenor Brendan Gunnell performs Gilded, accompanied by the Polymnia String Quartet, Sunday, September 15th at the Marigny Opera House. Gunnell will also perform a leader recital on Wednesday, September 18th at the University of New Orleans. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Critically acclaimed Broadway performer Betsy Wolfe is heading to New Orleans. The soprano is known for her performances in Waitress, The Last 5 Years, and Falsettos. Wolfe is set to perform at Le Petit Theater, bringing her first cabaret show, All Bets Are Off, to the Crescent City. We caught up with her by phone. Betsy, welcome to Inside the Arts.
I'm so happy to be here. Hi there.
Tell me, will this be a debut for you in New Orleans?
Yes, it has been an American city that I've been dreaming of going to. I'm pretty darn excited about it.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, this cabaret show, All Bets Are Off, has been selling out in major cities across the country. What are you exploring?
It's a much more intimate journey into my life and my performing life that you don't obviously get to see when you're playing a role. You're definitely going to hear the journey of how it came to be that Betsy Wolfe ended up a performer. Performing for me started as early as 11, and without spoiling too much of the night, we go through my diary in a little bit of a way as a young girl who is quite dramatic. I would think any other 10-year-old had a much more normal diary than I did, but I'll say this, if you read my diary, it was pretty dramatic, and she was destined to be an actress, so kind of telling stories through my diary as well as different letters. That's like a little portal into what you might expect on Saturday night.
And you're singing songs by?
Stephen Sondheim, one of the people I really look up to in musical theater canon. Jason Robert Brown. I have a song by Stevie Nicks. Of course, I'm going to throw in some Sarah Bareilles. And I believe I'm doing a Cole Porter song. So, you know, nods to the classics, but also newer contemporary material that speaks to me and that I'm a little bit more known for. And it is quite a mix of music.
Now, you had your first performance at Carnegie Hall at a very early age. You hadn't quite graduated from school yet.
You know what? Many people don't mention this. Even though you're saying it, I can barely take ownership of it because it was so insane to me that at 20 years old, I have my first solo debut at Carnegie Hall with Eric Kunzel, who some people will remember was kind of the king of pop. You know, he's really the person in the maestro who kind of created this whole pop world with symphonies. And so he asked me to come and sing, and little did I know it then, but it was really the start of quite an incredible pop career for me. You know, I still kind of pinch myself when I hear that.
How did the invite come about?
I went to the University of Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. And so when I moved from California right after high school, I went to Cincinnati, and he was the conductor of the Cincinnati Pops. And I was doing a holiday show. I was doing a Christmas show And apparently his manager said, there's this girl that you have to see that's doing this Christmas show. And Eric came to the show. And after that, he offered me this concert. It's one of those things where it's opportunity meets preparation, meets just some really good luck. And there you have it.
Wow. While in New York, how did you make it to Broadway?
So the concert that I got to do with Eric Conso was just a one-night performance at Carnegie Hall. So after that finished, I went back and I did my senior year at University of Cincinnati. And we do what's called a showcase at the end of the year in New York. Everyone moves from Cincinnati to New York. And we all do a showcase and we try and get agents and casting directors come, and some people get hired and some people don't. It's kind of this crazy process. And within about 6 months, I booked a national tour of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And so it was there that while I was on the tour in Boston, that I actually heard about One Tin in the Shade with Audra McDonald becoming a Broadway show. So it was actually from there that I decided that I got to drive myself to New York from the tour and audition for my first Broadway show. And it turns out from that open call, I got the job. And so that was actually my Broadway debut, which is just the craziest thing ever, that that actually like worked out.
That's incredible. And you've also performed in two operas at the Met?
Yes. I actually take great pride in that. I'm one of two people. Kelly O'Hara and I are the only two crossover artists, females, that have done that. They were revamping the Flatermouse, and they brought in Douglas Carter Bean, who has written the script for so many brilliant plays and TV shows. They were adding some dialogue, and one of the three female leads, they really wanted to kind of bulk it up and make it a more leading comedic character. And so they decided that they wanted to explore musical theater actresses who have an opera background. I actually studied classically for a long time in California before moving to Cincinnati. And then when I was at school, I continued to train with an opera teacher as opposed to kind of a more contemporary musical theater teacher, just to maintain that singing. So when the opportunity came up to sing an aria at the Met and audition for New Flatermouse, I'm sure you could understand that I was like excited, but also, you know, incredibly nervous. I hadn't done that in years. So my audition was obviously reading the dialogue and then also at some point standing on the stage at the Met and singing an aria, and I got the job. So I've now been in two New Flatermouse productions at the Met.
That's an incredible career. It's a very young career, and you've done so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I think a lot of things go into it. I'm grateful to my parents for providing opportunities. I'm grateful for being a little bold and daring and, you know, at times a little too fearless. And, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunities that I've been given.
What is the memory that you want to leave with audiences in New Orleans after this performance?
Oh, my goodness. One moment we're all laughing hysterically together. There's moments where we're all kind of weeping together. And it's this really incredible thing that only happens, I believe, when we all commit to being in a room together and putting away kind of everything else and just being there. And this all happens through music and storytelling. It's just so special.
Betsy, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Enjoy New Orleans.
Thank you. I can't wait.
Today's a day like any other, but I am changed. I am a mother in an instant.
Broadway favorite Betsy Wolf brings her first cabaret show, All Bets Are Off, to Le Petit Theater, Saturday, September 14th, 7:30 p.m. More info is online at lepetittheater.com. Decades of dance come alive in a new exhibit at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation Gallery. It's called Steppin' Past to Present. The exhibition is presented by the Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Theater. It chronicles years of collaborations with the dance troupe and many of the city's finest jazz musicians and artists. One of those musicians is acclaimed New Orleans jazz vocalist Jermaine Basil. She joins us with Artistic Director Lula Elzey. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me, how did the idea, Lula, for this unique trip back in time come about?
Well, I had so much information that several of my friends kept telling me that everyone else should know about this. So we decided that we should put together a sort of a exhibit and documentary of all of the artists that have worked with us over the last 28 years.
It's an exhibit with some surprising elements. Tell us about the offerings.
going back, well, maybe it's more than 28 years, because we found things that went back all the way to the 80s. We had footage of film with Ellis Marsalis and Lady BJ. We had the original Jazz Couriers with Walter Payton and Harry Connick Jr., Calvin Harrison and Jamil Sharif. So we have everybody just starting out. So they're all young, and we were surprised that we had this information and footage of film of them.
So the exhibit is part film,
photos, and we have all of this documentation of press releases and programs and posters from all of the shows through the years. And we consider ourselves to be very, very lucky because they were stored away and housed in a facility that was not affected by Hurricane Katrina. So oh, wow. I happen to have all of the original works.
And Jermaine, you are one of the many musicians who have crossed paths with Lula Elzy and her dance troupe. How did you make the connection?
Lula made the connection. Was that for one of the Nutcracker Swing? Yeah,
yes.
Okay, when you did the Duke Ellington Nutcracker Swing. To have that opportunity to do Duke Ellington, you know, with big band, live, okay? That was quite a thrill for me. And to see the young people getting the opportunity not only to listen, but to perform to that work, you know, for me, that made me say, okay. So whenever she calls, you know, I'll say yes, because I like the quality of the work.
You also have an affinity for young people. You wear more than one hat. You were also a teacher in your career.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it, too. You know, this is what I do. I'm a teacher. There was no need for me to go on the road as an entertainer because I had the opportunity right here in New Orleans to do both. Classroom in the day and the nightclub at night. As far as I was concerned, I had the best of both worlds.
You bloomed where you were planted.
Yes.
So let's go back in time. Tell us about your career, your music career. How did it start?
My mom played piano. My dad, aunts and uncles played piano. And during the time when I was born, the piano was a big, big instrument. I'm not just talking about size. I'm talking about popularity. It was almost like a must-have in family homes. In the block where I lived, there were at least three homes where there was a piano. Somebody was playing a piano. You grow up with that kind of thing, and like children do, you know, you run to the piano and you start trying to pick out little tunes and all of this. I remember picking out a tune that my dad played. It was called Sweet Sue. That was my favorite song, I guess, at the time. Eventually, somebody in my family decided that I was to take piano lessons. And I say that because nobody asked me if I wanted to do it. Mother says, come straight home from school because we have to go someplace. Well, straight home from school, we have to go someplace meant that we were going to go on Canal Street, you know, to do some shopping. But it didn't turn out to be Canal Street. It turned out to be Xavier University. Xavier University had what they called the Junior School of Music. And this was for high school elementary kids. And I was enrolled without my permission. This is where I met Ellis Marsalis, as he was playing clarinet at the time. Edward Frank was playing violin, and he ended up being jazz pianist. Richard Payne, who was playing trumpet, but he ended up being a bass player. Not any of us had any idea we would, in our adult years, meet again to do this thing called jazz. We had orchestra, and it was decided that they needed bass players. I ended up being the only girl to play the bass because the other girls dropped out, and I continued. So that was through high school and college. Played in the symphonic band or orchestra. And I got a job in Thibodaux, Louisiana, as a music teacher, teaching in the day and playing bass at night. And when I stopped working in Thibodaux, I came home because I decided I didn't want to be a teacher. And I had a dear friend who was a music teacher, and she called me and said that Xavier Prep was looking for a choir director. I said, I don't know if they'll hire me because I work in the nightclubs and, you know, that kind of thing. She said, well, go see. So I went up to Prep and I talked to the principal. And the first thing I told her, I said, I need you to know that I work in the nightclubs. She said, oh, that's not a problem. I said, okay. So that's how I got the job of teaching at Xavier Prep.
And you've given back to so many young people.
I hope so. There's no greater joy than to see the light go on. No greater joy.
You didn't tell us the story about how you got from bass to the vocalist.
Well, everybody in the band sang. So I said, okay, I'll sing Tenderly, Sarah Vaughan. You know, so that came to be my particular contribution to sing Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, the Doris Day, all of those kinds of tunes.
Yeah.
You know, so you play bass and you sing. Mm. It's something.
And it's been a beautiful career that's taken you to many places.
It has. It really has. I was singing with the St. Louis Cathedral Choir. I was singing with Moses Hogan. I was doing the gigs at night. And I was teaching in the day. So my life was 24 hours of music.
Now, Jermaine, you've been performing in a career that's more than 60 years at this point?
I guess so. I don't count.
You don't count.
You know, it's just you get up in the morning and you go to work. And that's always been it. You know, you get up and you go to work.
What are the lasting memories you hope this exhibit will provide for viewers? Lula?
To remind people of all of these musicians and artists that we have right here in the city of New Orleans, that even to a certain point that time has forgotten, to remember that all of those people contribute something to your career or to your artistry along the way.
Acclaimed jazz vocalist Jermaine Basil and Lula Elzey, artistic director of the Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Theater. Thanks so much for sharing time with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once I had a secret love.
The Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Theater presents Steppin' Past to Present. The exhibit runs Monday through Friday, now through September 20th, at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation Gallery, 1205 North Rampart Street.
My secret love.
That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Le Petit Theater. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next week when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.